Well, let's read from Genesis chapter 22. We can start by reading 5 verses from the beginning of this chapter. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. This is the first part that I wanted us to read for the beginning of our morning meditations, and let us take now a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we are looking into this chapter, a moment that might have been the most difficult moment in Abraham's life, Lord, we pray for thy guidance. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thy Spirit would lead us and teach us. O Lord God Almighty, there is so much to learn from this chapter, and yet we mainly learn some teachings of this chapter when we go through a similar chapter in our pilgrimage. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before Thee that Thou art God of mercy and justice. And Thy ways are so mysterious, and even Thy revelations are often beyond our perception. The words that Thou art teaching, Lord, we often find them hard to understand, and yet when through prayer and supplication, through acknowledgement of our inability, we receive from Thee a glimpse into Thy truth, we realize that there is so much more than we ever perceived. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou today honor Thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Exalt Thy name most high, O God. Open our hearts and our minds. And also, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, this feeble channel of Thine, bless Thou for the sake of the souls that are gathered here and the others that might be listening to this message. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Help us to see what Thy Word is revealing to us. And help us to see ourselves in the light of Thy Word. Help us to understand, O Lord God Almighty, Thy compassion and Thy suffering, which we so easily forget when Thou art permitting us to share in that grace of Thine just a tiny portion. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us to see the purpose of the sacrifice that Thou art asking from us to offer unto Thee, especially the burnt sacrifices. O Lord God, Thou art our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. We pray that Thou make us Thy beloved and lovable children in Christ. Gracious Lord, we see how much Thy Spirit is laboring in Thy Word to make us a real sacrifice, an offering of gratitude and praise to Thy holy name. We see how much Thy Spirit is laboring, and yet we see only a tiny, tiny fraction of it. We perceive, O Heavenly Father, that just as Thou hast created this world with love and with grace, that in love and grace and with an awful and wonderful offering of Thyself, Thou hast delivered the souls of those that have ever and will ever believe Thy Word. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to offer ourselves as a living offering upon the altar of the most holy faith, and to consider that the highest honor, the greatest opportunity, the greatest privilege, and to see that we of ourselves are unworthy to be offered, and yet because Thou hast sent Thy dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Shepherd of our souls, the Lamb of God, just because of that offering, all the offerings in His name Thou hast sanctified. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, great sacrifices, multitudes of sacrifices, thousands upon thousands have been offered, and yet, revealing Thy grace in the strictness of Thy law, revealing Thy holiness in the severity of Thy discipline and Thy judgments, Thou hast equaled two turtle doves and two young pigeons with the thousands of sacrifices, for Thou art looking upon the heart, not upon the earthly possessions. Gracious and loving Lord, we pray for that part that thou art calling our heart. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that our hearts be purified by the blood of the Lamb, that you may realize, O Lord, somewhat deeper the depth of that agony, somewhat stronger the strength of that determination, and that we might be more stable in our walk with Thee by the stability of that decision that the Lamb of Thine has been slain since the foundations of the world. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we can only look into that Thou hast recorded for us here. And we pray, O Father, that even the unrecorded letters of Thy truth may be engraved in our hearts, that as difficult, as hard, as grievous, as agonizing Thy sacrifices can be, that the reward and the glory and the abundance of fruitage is much greater. And we pray today, O Lord, that we may follow our father Abraham in faith, in obedience, that we may lay down our heart and mind, soul and body, at the feet of our owner, our master, our teacher, our King, Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory and honor of Thy majestic fatherly name. Amen. Maybe I'm not very modest in my expectations, and maybe I'm too harsh in my evaluations. But until now, and I'm afraid not even now, until now I have not heard someone sharing from this chapter and giving me an awareness or at least a glimpse or a feeling of the reality. I heard many sermons. I don't know exactly how many, but I think I heard many sermons on this chapter. I myself shared a few times, and yet I haven't heard one, and I myself have not shared one sharing of the scripture based on this chapter that would reach into the depth of this historical event. Something great happened here. And yet, in my great weakness and relying on the help of the Lord, I will share with you what comes to my mind and limited understanding in this brief moment of our meeting. I would think that it would be somehow similar to the beautiful stories that we can read in the books and that we can find in the bookstores, or perhaps see on some videotapes or here on some cassette tapes or all the ways and means that are used nowadays, or perhaps some forgotten custom and privilege, something that we might hear from someone that is advanced in age and that already suffered so much that could share with us more than we have experienced in our own experiences. I think that was the way the people lived way back. The older ones would share their experiences with the younger ones. And those that were able to read, or perhaps read the scrolls to those that can only hear and listen. And so on. If this was one of those stories, it probably would have ended with the end of the chapter 21. Isaac is now a growing man. Abraham and Sarah have lived long enough to see their offspring, the child of the promise. And they can also see that he is growing and developing to become a godly man. A very godly man. A loving person. The family environment was filled with love and affection. Aging parents that had so many experiences together, that shared so much of their lifetime, their difficulties, their misunderstandings and understandings. And a man in full strength, in the blossom of his youth, apparently healthy, a man of good understanding, very good heart, just wonderful. And so they lived in the land of the Philistines many days, the end of the story, but not. I heard quite a few explanations. Why would God tempt Abraham? That perhaps Abraham and Sarah grew, or perhaps were distracted in their love for their son Isaac, so much that their love for the Lord was somehow overshadowed. Oh, that would be human. That should not be very surprising. There is only one question: where do you see that in the Word? I didn't find that indication so far. And at the moment when the Lord called Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, burnt sacrifice, we don't see that hesitation, we don't see resistance. And it's impossible for me, perhaps of my weakness, impossible to imagine that there was no resistance. First, never before did the Lord ask for a burnt sacrifice of a human being. And second, the law that came later strictly forbade that. Perhaps the greatest effort or self-denial or sacrifice asked from Abraham so far was not the first sacrifice that Abraham offered, or the first altar that he built. I'm confident that he did it willingly, eagerly, even enjoying it. I think the greatest sacrifice before this one was sacrificing Ishmael. It was not an easy thing for Abraham to let Hagar and her son go, because that was his son. And if Abraham was so loving and so caring for the slaves born in his household so much that they could go to war with him, there was so much part of his heart and mind, how much more his own son, though it was not the son of the promise. And yet the Lord said, Abraham, let it not be too grievous. But it is. And the Lord said, let it not be. When the Lord says, let it not be, something that is, he is able to change it. He can. And only he can. However, he is asking us to be willing. Almost like the man that was by Bethesda's pool. I think that's where it was. Was he the one that the Lord asked, will thou be well? Do you want to be healed? The Lord asks us to submit our will. It looks like the greatest difficulty is not doing the will of the Lord, but giving up our own. And you know, the only will that can save us is the Lord's will. And the only will that can destroy us is our own. At this moment, I feel something of that our brother Job experienced when, after being rebuked by his friends, being condemned without the proof, and then being judged because somehow he didn't suffer peacefully all the suffering so far, including his friends' condemnation. Finally, the Lord talks to him, and there is additional rebuke. And everything turns into a whirlwind of thoughts. And all the wisdom that this wise, perhaps one of the wisest men in the Bible, was possessing from the Lord, all the wisdom that he trusted turns into apparent confusion. Suddenly he sees that he doesn't see anything. And then he says to the Lord, I'm putting my hand on my mouth and I abhor myself. And I repent. Repent for what? I don't know. I just repent. It's something like saying, thou art all in all, I'm nothing. I'm just nothing. And that's all I can. Acknowledge. Everything is in the hands of God. I am nothing. And I see that at that moment everything is turned around. After acknowledging his nothingness, Job is immediately exalted to knowing more and more, more and more. And the Lord displays before Job the might and the power, the wisdom, the strength. And gradually, step by step, the purpose of Job's suffering, agony, grief, condemnation by the others, despisement of all around him, betrayal of everyone that should have helped him, everything receives a purpose, and everything is brightened by the light of one truth. God knows everything, and He does everything for good to those that worship Him and love Him and obey Him. Hallelujah. That's victory. And that Job, whom God so severely chastened, not only by allowing all the difficulties and suffering to come upon him, but also chastening him by his own word. God appeared to Job and said, "Where were you when I created everything?" That Job that said, "I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." The Lord said, "He is the one that can offer the true sacrifice and pray for his friends, and his sacrifice the Lord will accept." From the blessing that the Lord blessed Job's offering with sprang out the most beautiful souls of his generation. Oh. Could that but remind us what has sprang out from the sacrifice of our father Abraham, from the blessing that the Lord blessed his sacrifice by? And would I dare mention from the sacrifice of sacrifices, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what has arisen from his death and resurrection, and what is still being in building, though it's almost finished? Abraham did not have a happy life forever after. He was tested by the Lord. The one Lord who knows every heart and every mind is testing Abraham's heart and mind. Why? Why would the Lord test anyone since he knows the end before the beginning? I don't think that Abraham ever yet received a revelation as great as this one that he received when he obeyed. When the sacrifice was completed to the extent that the Lord has appointed. The way that we understand the Word of God, the sacrifices seem to be much more disastrous. The way the Lord is revealing the meaning of His Word, every sacrifice is just an opportunity of receiving multitudes of blessings. Breaking my own will, shattering that will, grinding it down like the dust of the earth, is the right thing to do, because that's what it is. It's the dust of this earth. obeying the will of the Father, obeying it faithfully, obeying it willfully, obeying it the best way we can. That's resurrection again. We read here that the Lord said, Abraham, it seems that at this moment all that Abraham has heard from the Lord was his name, Abraham. And he answered, maybe it's just the short answer when the Lord said, Abraham. Abraham looked to the Lord and said, yes, I'm here. The Lord had Abraham's attention, and here is the message. Take now. No, not in 3 days, not in 3 weeks or 3 years. And certainly not in your last will, that something happened after, just to avoid you yourself doing it. He said, now, take thine only Isaac. I wonder, in English we have here inserted the word son, thine only son Isaac. Well, that's not exactly how it was. There was another son far away, Ishmael. But the Lord said, if I understand this translation, this printing correctly, the Lord said, take now thy son, thine only Isaac. Abraham had 2 sons, but only 1 Isaac. Isaac was the only joy of Abraham's heart as his offspring. The Lord said further, revealing that, or reminding Abraham that the Lord understands very well the relationship. Take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest. It looks like the contradiction of this commandment of the Lord, this demand of the Lord, is growing every moment. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I'm afraid if I go word by word that this chapter will take us 3 or 4 meetings. But whatever. Let's go step by step. He said, the Lord said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Could Abraham choose? Is there a substitute? Could it be, at least, if it has to be one of his sons, at least Ishmael, not Isaac? But the Lord is very clear. What the Lord has promised, he is asking now. Well, I could be tempted to say the Lord is asking this back. But we know the end of the story, and no, the Lord is not asking back something. The Lord is giving to Abraham more than ever before, only it might not be quite visible right away. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Well, couldn't we go somewhere else? Perhaps back all the way to the Ur of Chaldees. Somewhere there, you know, some trip that would take a few years. No, no. To the land of Moriah. And do it now. It has to be exactly the place that the Lord has appointed, and the sacrifice exactly what the Lord is asking, and who is going to offer the sacrifice? Exactly the man that the Lord is addressing. There is no choice but one: obey or disobey. Oh, we that live in this country that has its own special enticement, offering the people always a choice. You never have to do something, you always can choose either that or this or that. Go to the stores and you will see. Choices upon choices. And often behind all of that is only one choice: giving in into the enticement of Satan. Keep choosing. Enjoy yourself. Oh, you live only once. Waste your life on your choices. The Lord is not offering choices. He is asking, do it now. The Lord has promised Isaac is going to be the chosen seed. Nation and multitudes of nations and kings shall come through the son of the promise. And now God is asking burnt sacrifice. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning. He did not take a week for fasting and praying. To build an altar, well, that would be an idea. Start building a very tremendous, fascinating altar. A huge altar. So it would take a long time and he could delay, postpone. He could have had an excuse. No. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his animal and took two of his young men with him, two slaves, two servants, and Isaac, his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place for which God had told him. You see, this sacrifice is not an easy one. Not only because of the suffering within, but also this sacrifice is burdened with the labor in the flesh, in their body. Was there no wood on the Mount Moriah? Why did they have to carry the wood all the way from their tent to the Mount Moriah? 3 days dragging the heavy load, heavy burden. How much wood is necessary for a burnt offering? The body, that flesh, has to be burnt to ashes. Nothing may remain that would resemble the shape or the form of what it was before. Total consumption. How much wood?
100 tons. Abraham probably
knew something about the terrain. He probably knew plenty about the vegetation. And I would think that he knew that there were some thorns and thistles on the Mount Moriah. Some bushes. But wood for sacrifice. Sufficient amount of wood had to be carried. So they're going. Very interesting situation. Perhaps Isaac did perceive that the mind and heart of his father Abraham is very burdened. And Isaac did not ask many questions. It seemed to me that they are very quiet. That Abraham is quietly speechless preparing for this trip. Abraham could have known how far is the Mount Moriah. They needed to prepare food and water. They're traveling through the through an area that does not offer any hospitality. I wonder what season it was. In the rainy season, that's an area that is very dangerous. Flash floods, erosions. I don't even remember the English word. You know, when a massive amount of mud and rocks is just mudslide, sliding down the steep slopes. The lower parts of the passes and trails are often flooded and often destroyed. You have to go around and around. But in any case, if this was dry season, the scorching heat for so many days, and they still had to take care of their food and drink and also the load of wood. And so on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. There it is. It looked like his bleeding heart is going to bleed to death right there. There is that place. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Did Abraham know what he was saying? I would like to be confident that he did. That he did know that they will go back again. It seemed to me that Abraham is now in his faith, in his confidence, in his trusting in the Lord, or perhaps not having any other solution in his heart and mind, he's looking beyond the time of sacrificing. Reminds me of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he said, and how it is difficult, how am I in a strait until it is finished. A very important teaching, something to remember in every difficulty, and especially in the most difficult situations. It is for a time. It's not going to last forever.
But when we offer to the Lord what He is asking from us to offer to Him, the blessing is forever. Suffering is for a time, but the glory of obedience is an everlasting glory. So, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, or for the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. This obviously indicates that Isaac was not only a lad, that he was not a child, as we see on some fairly artistic pictures. It also tells me that Sunday school books do not focus mainly on the Word of God, but rather the impression of the children. And the impression is important, but only if it's based on the Word of God. So, Isaac was big enough and strong enough to carry the load of wood sufficient to burned Isaac's body to ashes. And Abraham took the fire in his hand and the knife. They didn't have matches, no lighters. He carried the fire. Perhaps it was a tool that makes fire. Or perhaps it was a container that had coals inside. I don't know for sure. Perhaps some of the people that consider themselves scholars or some of the books written can explain that. And then we have to choose whether to believe them or not. But here we see that Isaac did carry the burden. And Abraham carried the grief. And they went both of them together. And it came to the moment that Isaac is finally speaking. He asked his father Abraham, "Father." And Abraham said, "Yes, my son." And Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood." That's a son. The father carries the fire, and the son carried the wood. And he didn't say, "Behold the wood and the fire," but rather, "The fire and the wood." But the question is, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac knew by the things prepared that it was a burnt offering. At least, I don't see an indication that there was an explanation from Abraham to Isaac before. And once again, I believe that the amount of the wood was large, indicating it's going to be a burnt offering. It's not an offering that they will eat. Behold the fire and the wood. But what about the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham answered, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Perhaps if Isaac did notice the burden or the heaviness in the heart or in the voice, in the manners of Father Abraham, at this time Isaac would have realized that there is much more. It's not going to be an ordinary sacrifice, if there is such a thing as ordinary sacrifice. The real sacrifices are never ordinary. And the real offering to the Lord is never free from effort and grief. And the true offerings to the Lord, even when most joyful, point always to the fact that every joy sprang out of the greatest, deepest, the bitterest agony ever suffered on the face of this earth. The suffering, the offering of Christ the Lord. My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. They're coming to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. I would think a simple altar. An altar that did not take unnecessary time to impress any man. An altar that will serve only one purpose: to obey the Lord. Offer an offering that the Lord has asked for. And then he laid the wood in order. There was a certain order. There was a way of doing it. The wood may not fall apart. It has to be placed in such a way that even if it fell down, crumbled with burning, it would still remain in a heap. It will not be scattered. I don't know how they did it, how he did it. I imagine it looked like a pyramid. But even so, it might not be too wide a base. It has to burn that sacrifice. All the burning energy had to be concentrated on achieving the purpose of it. And so he laid the wood in order, and then he bound Isaac, his son. There is no more delay, and it's not a secret anymore. It's now known to everyone present. There are only two men, the son and the father. From this moment on, it's not only the sacrifice of Abraham, it's the sacrifice of Isaac. No resistance, no refusal. Did Isaac fear pain and death? Absolutely yes. No healthy, mentally and physically healthy person is without fear of death and pain. None of the people, the healthiest, the most sound minds, are free from that. How do I know that? God has built that pain, the feeling of pain, to preserve us. He has created that. I don't want to distract you, but I heard that there were some medical cases, very difficult cases, some people that did not have that part of their nervous system that registers pain, and it was an awful life. they got burned, they got cut, they got injured before they became aware that something is wrong. The feeling of pain and the fear of it is part of our living on this earth. And Isaac did fear. Yet, the fear and godly respect was much greater. I remember some of the Christian prisoners talking about their fear in their suffering. That after suffering torture repeatedly in the process of time, every sound when they hear the open door would cause a flash of fear going through their system, through their body. They would feel that. And yet, they never came to the point of saying, shall I endure to the end? The body was trembling with fear, but in their heart, in their mind, there was only one desire: be faithful to the end. I think that's, oh yes, it's awful, but it's exceedingly wonderful. That in this weak body of ours, the power of the Lord can prevail and sustain us in obedience, submission, faithfulness to the will of God. Oh, that's glorious. And the greater the humility, the greater the glory. And the greater the darkness of our suffering, the brighter the light of a true and faithful testimony to God. God's goodness and grace revealing itself in the power of being faithful to the Lord. So Abraham bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham was an old man. By now I would think that he was about 120, 130 years old. And yet he was still strong enough at this time. Or was that the resolve, the desire to do the will of the Lord, to prevail against his own feelings and his own desires? Maybe he received that strength from the Lord. If he received any strength, I'm sure he received it from the Lord. No one else could give him that strength. As he bound his son, he, Abraham, took his son in his arms and laid him on the altar. I would think that that altar was not too high. Did Isaac try to help his father? He was bound. And now comes that moment, dreadful moment, awful moment. But Abraham proceeds. He stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The sacrifice has been offered. In the heart and mind of Isaac and Abraham, it has been done. And the Lord, that knows the hearts and minds of his people, did not want anything else. Their heart and their mind and their deeds to the extent to prove to themselves that God is able and willing to give the strength, to give the power, to give the endurance, to give full obedience to His word. This is the end of that sacrifice. It's completed. It's finished. And now comes the revelation of the Lord.